Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Cuba. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that I've posted a number of videos on Cuba, and the situation is getting worse on a daily basis. There is a real crisis unfolding in Cuba right now. This looks like it could be the first country to absolutely collapse. And in today's episode, I want to give you an update with regards to the exchange rates. Now, Cuba operates what's known as a pegged exchange rate. So it's fixed the value of the Cuban peso directly to the US dollar. And since the end of 2020, there has been no movement whatsoever in that valuation. Now, clearly, that doesn't make a great deal of sense because the US dollar has strengthened significantly since Russia has invaded Ukraine. And in Cuba, there's a high level of dollarization. So a lot of people are using US dollars on the streets to trade goods and services. And the Cuban authorities have now acknowledged this issue and they've changed the official cash exchange rate. So in today's episode, I'll go through the exact details of what the Cuban authorities have announced. We'll have a look at what's been going on with regards to the exchange rates and also inflation, because inflation is intrinsically linked to currency movements. And so we'll see exactly what's been going on in Cuba. I'll then talk to you about the brain drain, the levels of migration that Cuba is currently seeing. There is a mass exodus going on. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of all of this are for the Cuban economy and what the impact of this will be on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up if you're enjoying the content of today's video, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so you can skip over stuff if you're not that interested in it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube's membership and super thanks, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. One of the reasons that Cuba is in such a dire situation right now is that it's a net importer. It doesn't have a great deal of natural resources. It does have some oil reserves, but not enough to feed its own population, so therefore it's a net importer of oil. And because of the communist history, the way that the infrastructure was developed in Cuba is very dependent on oil. Cuba had a very close relationship with Russia all the way through the Cold War period. Russia effectively gave free oil to Cuba all through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And because oil was free and abundant, Cuba built a lot of power stations that use oil. And as you'll be fully aware if you follow the channel, the price of oil spiked following Russia's invasion of Ukraine and has remained at high levels over the last 5 months or so. So this is causing real problems for Cuba because they're needing to find large quantities of foreign currency to be able to keep purchasing that oil. And they just don't have that currency. So that's one of the reasons that they're in crisis right now. In terms of the other resources that Cuba has, it does have reserves of nickel and zinc, which are mined and exported predominantly. And the other main resource is its land. And it has large sugarcane crops and also large tobacco fields. And its two biggest exports that it's most famous for are rum and cigars. But unfortunately, they don't bring in anywhere near enough money to be able to pay for all of the food and oil that the country needs to import. Historically, it's relied upon friendly communist nations helping it out. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that nation was Russia. But unfortunately, when the USSR fell apart, those deals all disappeared. And then Cuba signed up a relationship with Venezuela. An exchange program was set up between the two countries. Cuba sent a lot of professional and educated people to Venezuela to set up hospitals and other forms of infrastructure. And in exchange for that, Venezuela provided free oil. But unfortunately, over the last few years, Venezuela has faced extreme sanctions. And as a result of that, the level of oil provided to Cuba has fallen. And that's one of the reasons that Cuba is now in crisis. As I mentioned at the start of the video, Cuba operates a fixed exchange rate against the US dollar. This chart shows the official exchange rate of the Cuban peso against the US dollar over the last 10 years. And as you can see, this is a very unusual chart. Normally, when we're looking at exchange rates, we see a lot of volatility and fluctuation. But because the Cuban authorities are operating a flat exchange rate, you can see that we've only seen one movement over the last 10 years. And that was at the end of 2020, when the rate was raised from around 1 peso to 1 US dollar to 24 pesos to 1 US dollar. Now, if you think about what's been happening to exchange rates since the start of the Ukraine war, the US dollar has strengthened significantly. There has been a general increase in the confidence of the US dollar, and that's meant that most exchange rates have weakened significantly against the dollar. Obviously, in Cuba, there has been no movement, and that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, particularly for a country like Cuba that's having to buy in large quantities of oil and food, both of which have increased dramatically in price. So this policy of operating a fixed exchange rate against the US dollar seems crazy. Now, one of the other key metrics to look at when you're looking at exchange rates is the rate of inflation, particularly for a country like Cuba that's having to import a lot of goods. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that we cover a lot of other countries that are net importers. And one of the biggest ones is Turkey. And if you look at what's been happening in Turkey over the last 12 months, as the currency has weakened and as the price of all of the items that Turkey has to buy in have gone up in the international markets, we have seen an explosion in the inflation rate. And the current rate of inflation in Turkey is now around 80%. And that's the sort of thing that you would expect in Cuba. Because they're having to buy in large amounts of oil and food, as the price of those items has gone up, then that should really be driving up inflation in the country as well, particularly when you've got a fixed exchange rate. So to give you a quick example, the price of oil has risen by around 50% since the start of the Ukraine war. And if you look at the exchange rate of the peso to the dollar, it's fixed at 24 to 1. So if at the start of the war you were buying $1 worth of oil, it would cost you 24 pesos. That same dollar's worth of oil would now cost $1.50 in the international markets because the price has gone up by 50%. That means that in pesos, it would have risen from 24 pesos to 36 pesos. So that equates to a 50% rate of inflation if you're keeping your exchange rate fixed. Now, as I said earlier in the video, the problem that we have with countries like Cuba is that we don't have reliable financial information. Let's have a look at what the official statistics are saying with regards to inflation for the country. If we look at the official figures for the last 12 months, you can see that in August 21, inflation was running above 62%, and we saw a steady increase over the next 5 months to hit a high of 77% in December 2021. We then saw a remarkable reduction in the rate of inflation to 23%. And since that time, the rate has sat at around 20-something percent. Now, there's no real explanation as to how the rate of inflation fell from 77% to 23% in 1 month. But for a net importer like Cuba that's buying in large quantities of oil and food, this seems really unbelievable. And when I say unbelievable, I genuinely mean unbelievable. And if we look at what's happened to the rate of inflation since the start of the Ukraine war on the 24th of February, there's been very little movement. And again, that makes absolutely no sense because the key items that Cuba is importing have all gone up dramatically in price. And the only way that inflation would have stayed relatively flat during that period is if the Cuban peso had appreciated dramatically in value, because that would have offset the international increase in prices. Now, obviously, that hasn't happened because the exchange rate is absolutely fixed at 24 pesos to $1. So that leads me to conclude that these figures look questionable. So in terms of what's been happening on the streets in Cuba, a lot of the residents have been moving to the US dollar. They've got more faith and confidence in the US dollar than they have in the Cuban peso. And we've discussed this before on the channel. This is called dollarization, when a country abandons its own currency and decides to use the currency from another country. And quite often it's the US dollar that countries migrate to. And on the streets of Cuba, one US dollar trades hands for around 120 pesos. So this is significantly higher than the official exchange rate. Now, the authorities are fully aware of this situation. And in 2020, in an attempt to stop dollarization, they banned the use of all US dollars. However, that hasn't really worked. And most of the people are still trading goods and services for the greenback. Now, this is causing a lot of embarrassment for the authorities, but it's also meaning that the black market for currency is growing on a daily basis. Because if you're a company or even a tourist and you've got US dollars, why would you exchange them for $1 for 24 pesos when you could get 120 pesos on the street? Nobody in their right mind is going to do that. And the authorities have now woken up to this issue and they've now announced that they're changing the cash exchange rate for the peso to US dollar. Cuba has announced that it will purchase US dollars and other convertible currencies at a rate equating to around 5 times the official exchange rate, in an effort to undercut the informal money market and capture the funds. The president of the central bank appeared on state-run television, announcing that the state-run banking system had set a new rate of 120 pesos to the dollar, compared to the official rate of 24. He said that the new rate would float and did not apply to most activities of the state-dominated economy, which would still operate at the fixed rate for the next 18 months. Cuba stopped officially accepting US dollars in 2020 as a result of the US sanctions, and stopped selling convertible currency for peso to the public soon after, simply because it didn't have any. The central bank president announced that he hoped to resume currency exchanges in the near future, but the first step would be capturing the informal market. So this is a really interesting development, and essentially what we're seeing here is a massive devaluation of the Cuban peso. Officially, the government are going to stay with the 24 pesos to $1, but in reality, everybody is working at around 120 pesos to $1. So we have seen a 5 times devaluation of the currency. And this is something that we've seen before from other countries at the later stages of economic collapse. So this really shows that Cuba is in a desperate situation right now. They've been trying desperately to hold on to that 24 to $1 exchange rate, but in reality, it's impossible. They've had to give up that exchange rate, and now they're accepting that it's 120 to 1. One of the biggest challenges facing Cuba right now is the brain drain. It's reported that over 150,000 people have left the country since October last year, and the rate of exodus is increasing. And the problem that you have with an exodus like this is that it's all your valuable resources who are leaving. So I talked earlier in the video about the relationship that Venezuela and Cuba had historically. Cuba has a lot of intellectuals, a lot of very well-educated people, a lot of professionals who can add value to an economy. And these are the people who leave first, and that leaves your economy even more vulnerable than it was at the start. At times of crisis, you need all of your educated people to come together and put together a plan to be able to get through this situation. If everybody leaves, then that just leaves the remaining people in an even worse situation. And that's exactly what's happening in Cuba right now. And that's a major cause for concern, because the only way that Cuba will find its way out of this crisis is by pulling together and working out a plan. If everybody abandons the country, then it's going to go to rack and ruin. And that's the concern right now. And this is really interesting in the context of the Ukraine war, because I posted a video previously talking about the brain drain in Russia. We've already seen a lot of highly educated and professional people abandoning Russia. And if this war carries on for much longer, there's a real concern that Russia will lose a lot of its top people, a lot of its highly educated and professional people. And if it gets to that situation, it's going to have issues in the future, because when it comes to dealing with technological problems and issues, you need all of your brightest people to be at the forefront. If they've all left the country, abandoned you for other nations, then that's going to leave you vulnerable to potential issues in the future. So there are some direct comparables here between Russia and Cuba. Cuba's at an advanced stage. Obviously, the economy is already suffering badly from the sanctions that have been applied, and they've seen the loss of lots of really educated people. Russia's at the start of this process, but there is a real chance that over the next 2 to 3 years, they could lose a lot of their good people and leave themselves vulnerable. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been covering a number of different countries that are in a similar situation to Cuba, on the verge of collapse. And they're all following a similar pattern. The first thing that happens is that the country runs out of money. It just runs out of currency reserves, and therefore it can't keep paying for all of the essential imports. And Cuba's main import that it needs to keep coming on a regular basis is oil. Because of the relationship that was set up firstly with the Soviet Union and secondly with Venezuela, it's built all of its infrastructure to be dependent on oil. So it needs to import large quantities of oil. Now, the problem that Cuba has, firstly, it doesn't have enough cash to pay for that oil. And secondly, since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the price of oil has spiked. So that's meant that it's cost even more to keep those electricity plants running. So that's predominantly the main issue. And we've seen this in other countries such as Sri Lanka and Turkey to a certain extent as well. So once it starts running out of currency, it then gets to a situation where there's a lot of pressure on the actual exchange rate of that currency. And again, we've seen this in countries such as Sri Lanka and Turkey and Egypt, where there is a massive devaluation of the currency. Now, Cuba has been holding onto its fixed exchange rate against the US dollar for the last 18 months or so. But that doesn't make any economic sense whatsoever. If you look at what's happened since the start of the Ukraine war, the US dollar has strengthened significantly against most currencies. So even if Cuba wasn't having any major issues right now, you would have expected the exchange rate to weaken versus the dollar. But because it's officially been pegged at a rate of 24 pesos to $1, everything in Cuba has been getting significantly more expensive. And we went through an example of the movement in the price of oil earlier in this video. So that doesn't make any sense. And on the streets of Cuba, the dollar has been changing hands for around 120 pesos to $1, nowhere near the 24 to 1. And now we've seen the Cuban authorities finally come out and acknowledge this fact, and they've effectively devalued the peso by five times. We've seen a 500% devaluation overnight. Now, they've said that they're going to stick to the official rate for all official purposes, but that doesn't make any sense either, because nobody, no company is going to want to do an exchange for 24 pesos when they could get 120 pesos on the street. So even though the Cuban authorities have said they will keep that in place for the next 18 months, I think realistically that will be abandoned immediately. So we're seeing a very similar pattern in Cuba to what we've seen in other countries that are in economic crisis. Firstly, they've run out of cash. Secondly, they devalue their home currency. And then beyond that, they don't really have many other options. The next phase for most countries is to seek a bailout, to go to the IMF or the World Bank or some other agency and say, we're in crisis, we can't afford to keep buying in fuel or food, we can't feed our population, please help us. Now, the problem that Cuba has is that it's burned its bridges with the IMF. It was a member of the IMF, but after Fidel Castro took over the country, Cuba initially refused to pay back any of its loans to the IMF. There was a falling out, and so it no longer has that option of seeking a bailout. So where Cuba is right now is that it needs a friendly nation to step in and really save the day. And when you look at the options of what's available to Cuba, it's really limited. Venezuela was helping them out over the last 10 years, but unfortunately Venezuela's got its own problems right now. The sanctions have really kicked in hard, and that country is in extreme crisis. So there is no chance that Venezuela will be able to step up and offer more free oil. Russia is the next alternative, and obviously there's a long-standing historic relationship. But Russia decided to walk away from Cuba in the early 90s. So we've had a period of over 30 years where the relationship has become strained. Realistically, it makes no economic sense for Russia to start shipping large quantities of oil to Cuba on a daily basis. However, the one thing that could be attractive to Russia is that Cuba is located very close to the USA. That's one of the reasons why Russia built a relationship during the Cold War period, because it wanted to unsettle the US. Obviously, the last thing that the USA would want is for Russia to develop its relationship with Cuba and to start putting some military bases on the island, because that would be far too close to comfort. Now, I don't think that that's likely to happen, because I think Russia do have far too many other issues that they're trying to sort out right now. But there is a possibility that Russia could decide to reignite its relationship with Cuba and to start another Cold War. But let's see whether or not that happens. Now, the other option here is obviously China. Now, China doesn't have a lot of oil to export to Cuba, so it can't solve the problem by giving it free resources. But what it could do is to move the Belt and Road Initiative and to start investing in infrastructure in Cuba. And again, that would be of big concern to the USA. What we've seen from the Belt and Road Initiative in other countries is that China sets up these initiatives as a loan, so it's a debt instrument. And if the country is unable to repay that loan, then China will then start to renegotiate the terms and potentially take over some of the country. So we saw that in Sri Lanka. Hambantota Port was a development that the Chinese got involved with. Sri Lanka couldn't afford the debt repayments. And as a direct result, China signed a 99-year lease to operate and own Hambantota Port. And that's caused some concern, because if the Chinese decide that they want to set up a military base in that area, then they would then have a stronghold on the island of Sri Lanka. Now, potentially, that could be a similar scenario for Cuba. We could see the Chinese come in and offer to build more power stations, for example, more renewable energy, something of that nature, which would be really attractive for Cuba, because they need to sort out their situation. They can't afford to keep buying oil, so they need to get other ways of producing electricity. So I'm very sure that the Cuban authorities would be keen on that type of deal. If they then couldn't afford the debt repayments, then we would be in a situation where China would be at the negotiating table and potentially could start saying, well, we would like to take over a port or a large area of Cuba. And if that happened, then the US authorities would be highly concerned that China would be able to put some sort of military base on the island, which would be very close to the USA. So again, this is more of a Cold War discussion. This is more of an East versus West thing. But there is a potential that China could see Cuba as an interesting and attractive investment opportunity with a view to extending its Belt and Road Initiative and potentially taking over some of the country at some point over the next 10 to 15 years. So there are some really interesting theoretical options. But back to reality, Cuba is facing a dire situation right now. It doesn't have any money, it doesn't have any oil, and it doesn't have enough food to feed its population. And all of those things are a recipe for disaster. It urgently needs somebody to come in and give it either large quantities of cash or large quantities of resources. And as it sits at the moment, nobody looks like they're going to step up to that mark. It will be interesting to see what the USA do with regards to this situation. Historically, there's obviously been a lot of tension between Cuba and the USA. The communist regime that was set up at the start of the Cold War period really put a wedge between the two countries. And the sanctions that have been imposed against Cuba by the US are really one of the reasons that the country is in such a dire situation now. Now, it may be that the US has a change of heart, because Cuba is located very close to the country, and it might be the lesser of all evils. If the alternative is Russia or China getting involved and potentially having some political influence over the country, then the US may decide that it's actually better to actually step in themselves and to help out and to try to get the country back up and running. But as it sits at the moment, there is no offer from the US, and that looks quite unlikely. So overall, my summary here is that the situation in Cuba right now is really quite dramatic. This is probably the worst scenario that we're seeing outside of Africa. We've got a country that has no cash and has no ability to be able to sort out its problems, and there's nobody offering to bail them out. So as it stands right now, I really don't know what the solution is for Cuba. Hopefully something will come out the woodwork over the next few weeks and we will see a white knight come in and save the day. But politically, that could be a hot potato. If Russia or China decide that they want to step up, I am very sure that the US will be unhappy about it, and we'll have to see how things play out. So as usual, I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen on this live situation. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.